Let's take our Bibles and turn to Hebrews chapter 9. Please just note with me for a moment the three appearances of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to just take the time tonight to say hallelujah and how thankful I am for each one of these three appearances. You'll notice in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 24 uses the word appear. Verse 26 uses the word appear. And verse 28 uses the word appear. And those are the three appearances. And the New Testament speaks of the Lord's past appearing, his present appearing for us, and then his future appearing. And each one of these appearings gives us reason to rejoice. And I want us to just take a few moments to read verses 23 through 28, where these three appearances are mentioned. And just for a brief time before going to prayer, we're going to look at some of the ramifications of those appearances. Verse 23, "It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest enters into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. As it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation." Well, we're going to be looking at the three appearances of the Lord, and we're going to take them in chronological order. First of all, I'm thankful for the Lord's past appearing, aren't you? Look at verse 26. "When Jesus came first at his first advent, he came to save us from the penalty of sin." By the way, each one of these appearances have a different aspect of ministry. We're going to see that the first appearing saved us from the penalty of sin, the second appearing from the power of sin, and the future appearing from the presence of sin. So we're going to look at the past appearance, and it's found in verse 26. It says here, "He now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself." Oh, how I'm thankful to the Lord for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he saved us from the penalty of sin. Isn't it wonderful to know that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord? But Jesus took the hell that John Pereira deserved. He took the hell and the penalty for sin that every one of us deserve. And when we someday lie upon our deathbed, we can have peace in our hearts because we have peace with God. Let's give thanks for that first appearing. Jesus came. Oh, I know the Christmas cards. I have neighbors that have beautifully decorated their yards. And you'll see illuminated gifts. Some even have Mickey Mouses and all kinds of inflatables. All of the Disney characters and gifts and all types of lights and not one whit of an indication of anything that Christmas is really about. But Jesus Christ came, and he was born under the shadow of the cross, and he came to die, to release us from the penalty of sin. And how we thank the Lord for that. You know, in the words of Zacharias, don't lose your place in Hebrews chapter 9, but you remember the words of Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist, in Luke chapter 1 and verse 67. Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost in Luke chapter 1 and verse 67. His father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people." Oh, thank the Lord for the first advent, the first appearance of our Lord Jesus Christ. He hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began. The coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, his past appearing, his first appearing, prophesied since the beginning of the world, and finally he came. So verse 26 talks about the Lord's past appearing, when he came to save us from the penalty of sin. And as we go to prayer, we need to thank the Lord for that, and don't ever lose grasp of that wonderful gospel message that we have. Then let's look at verse 24. There's another appearing that the Word of God talks about, and it's his present appearing. You know, he appears before the throne of God for us. I call this his present appearing. Look at verse 24. Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. And this appearance, remember 1 John 2:1 tells us we have an advocate with the Father, 1 John 2:1. Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He's never lost a case yet. He pleads his precious blood for us that he shed at his first appearing. And then Romans 8:34 says that he ever lives and he makes intercession for us. The Word of God reminds us, Romans 8 and verse 34. This, by the way, the second appearance in heaven saves us, not from the penalty of sin as the first appearing did, but the second appearing in heaven saves us from the power of sin. And we have in his intercession for us. Let's look at the third appearance, and it is the future appearance. You have the past, present, and future appearance. Look at verse 28. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. That's his first appearance in verse 26. But notice, but it says here, unto them that look for him. Ah, this is the future appearance. Those that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Now, verse 28 has, frankly, confused a lot of people. What does it mean he appears the second time without sin? Does that mean that the first time he had sin and the second time now he doesn't? No, actually, that's not the concept at all. The word without sin, first of all, speaks of apart from sin. But the idea of he shall appear without sin unto salvation is this concept. When he comes the second time to establish and to redeem us and to bring us to heaven, he's not going to be dealing with the sin issue. The sin issue is not going to be the matter. He's going to bring about our full salvation. In other words, the future appearing of the Lord deals with our glorification. So the idea, he shall appear the second time without sin unto salvation. In other words, the idea is that he's not dealing with our sin issue. That's already been dealt with back in verse 26. So he appears without dealing with that sin issue, and he comes to bring us our full salvation, our glorification. And this saves us from the presence of sin. The first appearing, the past appearing, saves us from the penalty of sin. His present appearing in heaven saves us from the power of sin. His future appearing will save us from the presence of sin, because we will no longer ever deal with a sin nature at all, but he'll take us into glorification. And we can thank the Lord that every one of these appearances shows us that God honors his word, and his word does not return void. And let me suggest to you that the Christmas story ought to include these three appearances here. We can thank the Lord that he was the babe born in the manger that came from heaven and he came to die. But we can also continue with the Christmas story, that he's in heaven preparing a place for us. He is interceding for us. He is our advocate. That's the Christmas story too, folks. And the coming of Christ is the Christmas story. And also the second coming of Christ to establish his kingdom is the Christmas story. And how we thank the Lord for the vast word of God that is Christ-centered. And we can certainly thank the Lord that we have a great deal to thank the Lord for in our prayer time, the three appearings of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your provision that you have made for us. And Lord, we thank you as we would meditate upon this Christmas season that you were willing to come, leave the mansions of glory, the accolades and worship of angels, to come to a world that rejected you, that would spit upon you, mock and ridicule you. And Lord, you were willing to come and bear our sins and the sins of Old Testament saints from creation on. And Lord, even those that rejected you, you bore their sins. And that establishes a greater accountability at the great white throne judgment, because provision was made and it was rejected. Lord, thank you that you opened our eyes and that we, Lord, have received your truth. Help us, Lord, to bask in the rays of your truth that you've revealed to us. Thank you for those, Lord, that we can stand with in the nativity story that responded to your word that we'll be studying about this coming Lord's Day. And Lord, thank you that we have the best that is yet to come. Thank you, Lord, someday our bodies will be released from the limitations of sickness and sin and weakness. And Lord, you'll come, Lord, to glorify us, and we'll have a body like fashioned unto yours. So, Lord, we thank you for this. We pray, Lord, for those that are going through deep waters now as we prepare to remember them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.